From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is January the 5th, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And later on, Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will join us to discuss the cash grain market. In agricultural news, U.S. EPA is expected to soon release new dioxin guidelines. The prospects concern food industry proponents, especially those in the livestock industry. And Monsanto has posted a higher-than-expected quarterly profit number. Dave Dickey will have all the details of these and other stories shortly, and then I'll have some details on how the United States Department of Agriculture sets about figuring the final crop production numbers for the year. That report is due out a week from today. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished like this, and the nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, 20¾ cents lowered, $6.29¼. May futures 648½, down 19½ in July. The harvest month for the soft red at 664¾ in Chicago, 19¼ lower. Hard red July in Kansas City at $7.02½, down 27¼ cents. March corn futures back in Chicago, 15 lower in the lead option, 643½, but the settlement price, the May futures at 651½, down 15¼. July corn at 657¼, down 15¾, and December futures $5.79½, down 10¼ cents in that contract. January soybeans today $12.25¼, 20¼ lower. March at $12.09, down 21. May futures from the bean pit at $12.18¾, 20¾ lower. And July soybeans $12.27½, down 21 cents for the day. November contract at $12.04, down 15¼ cents. March bean meal futures finished at $3.13.20, down $7.40, and the March bean oil at $15.06, down 97 cents. Live cattle futures from the CME Group and the February contract, $120.95 per 100 pounds, 67½ cents lower. April futures at $124.90, down 60. January futures at $147.87½, up 12½. The March at $150.85, that's 30 cents higher on the day. And the lean hogs finished at $83.85, down $1.32½. This is the Closing Market Report. Here are what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $101.75 a barrel, down to $1.47. Ethanol at 218¼ cents, down 4¾. The natural gas at 298, that's down 11¾ for the day. And the heating oil at $3.03¹, 5 cents lower. January gold futures at $1,619.40 an ounce, $7.50 lower. The dollar at 80.92 is up 0.8, and the CRB index at 308.54, down 5.26 for the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says yet this evening we'll see mostly clear skies, a low of 35 degrees with a southwest wind at 11 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 16. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 53 degrees with a west-southwest wind at 10 to 13, gusting to 18. Friday night, partly cloudy skies, a low of 32. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 44. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 27. Sunday, partly sunny skies, a high of 41 degrees. On Sunday night, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 27. Monday, mostly sunny and 42. Monday night, clear and 29. On Tuesday, sunny skies again with a high of 46 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 32. By the time we get to the middle of the week on Wednesday, a chance of rain. Mostly cloudy skies, a high Wednesday near 42 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get closer to the end of our program. We'll talk with Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, right here on this Wednesday, rather Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Along with us today, Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Things have been rocking and rolling pretty well since we got through the beginning of the brand new year. Some really good up days and some days, like today, really hard downs.
Yeah, this is a pretty hard down day. a couple things that really, I think, fueled it. Probably the strength of the dollar and renewed talk of a Greek default. I think that stirred up the strength of the dollar. That took the dollar right up against this 81 level. 81.15 now is a 50% retracement level back toward the high that we had back in 09 after the financial collapse back in 09. Or it was 08 is when we had the financial collapse, but in the early part of 09, during all the turbulence, the market rallied on up to 89.62. then we kind of came back to that level again, 88.71 back in June of 10 when we were making our lows in the commodity market back then. And then, of course, we fell all the way back here to 72.69 here by this spring, April 25th. And now we've returned roughly halfway back. So we're kind of back to the point of where we were to start out the 2011 year, January 10th, 2011. We were at 31. We were at 81.31, and today's high here is 80.98. So we're kind of back to last year's high point. This ought to be a point of at least some form of resistance or a period of consolidation before it slices on through there and goes on higher. As a technician, I would say that if we do go on higher, if we go right on up through this 81.50 area, that, I think, clears out a path for a run up toward the upper 80s, 88 or so is what I'd have as a target. That would be extremely bearish, I think, to the commodity complex because that would insinuate that we are in a major round of deflationary pressures and dwindling demand prospects, and that could be a pretty good bearish ride through the winter and spring months if the dollar would decide to do something like that.
If I recall from early to mid-fall as we were looking at the crop sizing, thinking this was a short crop, possibly with a long tail, which would mean moving lower as we made our way into the next growing season, that there was some discussion that this tail might be pretty volatile, quite a few ups and downs, unlike previous ones or what would normally be the pattern. Is that what you think we have seen the last several weeks?
I think probably for basically since Labor Day weekend, when we made our highs, there on our last day or so of August, and basically since then we've been in a tailspin, working our way down into this December low. I would say that is part of the so-called short crop long tail scenario. But I've been kind of in the opinion that if we were going to do a short crop long tail, that the tail may be a little shorter than average, and that the market would find some kind of support here in this December-January time frame. Now, a lot of that's going to depend upon whether or not the South American crop moves out of the stress column. Right now it's in the stress column. down, there's production downgrades going on. Weather forecasts are suggesting that we're going to get a good rain into some of those areas next week, but then I can read another forecast that says that it may not be quite as heavy as what some of the earlier models suggested. So that's a major key factor. We're right in the middle of the South American growing season. And then we continue to have this outside turbulence of debt, not only here in the United States, but abroad. And, I mean, the market basically looks at world politicians all the same. None of them have any strength to really stand up and tell the people what needs to be done and what needs to be done financially. They're all a bunch of wimps. And all they do is want to try to keep patching up the pipe and keep kicking the can down the road. So that, unless there's some confidence that begins to come into our political system, we're going to have a major, I think, currency crisis on our hands probably here in over the next 6 to 12 months that could be quite volatile, and that would also spill on over into the grain complex.
Now I'm looking at the lead option continuous corn chart on the daily, and I see a high, what, in October, and then again in November at that 649-656 range, and then here just not too long ago we were at 658. And there's a gap, of course, just 4 days back that we filled today on the way down, and one not too far below that again at, what, around 620, the gap's, what, at 636 on the top side of it. Do you think we can push back down that low?
Well, this is the rule of thumb. When you have a gap like what we've had the last couple weekends, because we came off of 3-day weekends and we didn't have any Sunday night trades, so we had a lot of those buying pressures build up over that 3-day period. So we come in here on a Tuesday morning and the market gaps higher and runs. Now, the rule of thumb on any gap is you kind of give it 3 days to be filled. If it can't be filled in 3 days, then that becomes a more meaningful gap. And, of course, the gap that we had right after Christmas, that was not filled in 3 days, and that kept strengthening, and then it actually resulted in another gap up here Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But now today's weakness came back and filled those gaps. So it kind of told you that probably the way I would look at it from a technical perspective is that Tuesday's gap was maybe what you'd view as maybe the exhaustion gap of this move that actually began to take hold during the late November, mid-December time frame. That basically resulted in a dollar rally in corn.
Right. So on December 6th, we were, what, 585? We were at 570 on a low.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've moved pretty sharply higher since that point.
Right. Now, basically, I think technically what we're going to do is we're going to go back and check out that Christmas gap. Today, for the most part, I think we're kind of in this 23% retracement levels of this advance that we've had over the past 3 to 4 weeks. I know today's market looks kind of bad. But until it gets verified or validated with some downside follow-through weakness, it could snap back and it could be dressed up and we could finish out the week halfway decent. So one day does not make a trend. And a lot of times in this market that we have these what I call them flash days, where everybody decides to do the same thing at the same time, and we had, I think this is could be considered one of those flash days. We had a nice run. We looked at the two key fundamentals this morning, the stronger dollar, a wetter South American forecast, and everybody decided, less run for the doors. It's also real close to a full moon, and that has a tendency to stir up the market, too, when you get toward a full moon. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much follow-through we actually get, if we get any at all, and the market may just kind of go into a period of consolidation for a little bit. But the main focus here is this January 9th crop report. I think it's the 9th. Is that Monday? Is that going to be Monday?
No, it's the 12th.
It's the 12th. Okay, yeah. So we do have a few days of next week. But my guess is that there's going to be some hesitation of wanting to take a big position going into that report, knowing that the volatility of the last few reports have been hurtful to a lot of traders.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan.
Very well.
Have a good day. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois, and joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Hey, now here's Dave Dickey with all of today's agricultural news on this edition of the CMR.
In agricultural news, the Environmental Protection Agency is set to issue new guidelines regarding what the agency believes is the maximum level of dioxin that humans can safely consume before suffering consequences to their health. That prospect is causing concerns for the U.S. livestock and poultry industries, largely because it is through food, mainly meat, poultry, and dairy products, that people ingest the largest portion of dioxin. Food industry organizations say the dioxin level targeted by EPA in an initial proposal is far more stringent than the level considered safe by international health officials at the World Health Organization. The EPA action is in the form of a guidance to consumers and not a regulation of food manufacturers and meat processors. Paraná's Rural Economy Department today says it is cutting soy and corn production in the state. It reduced its forecast for soy to 12.73 million tons from its December forecast of 14.12 million tons. It lowered its corn estimate to 6.4 million tons from 7.4 million tons. Paraná, a southern state, has borne the brunt of a prolonged dry spell in what is usually a wet summer season due to the influence of La Niña. The state's worst affected regions have received just a third of the average rainfall for December. Global agribusiness company Monsanto Company posted a higher-than-expected quarterly profit today, driven primarily by expanding business in Brazil and Argentina and strong U.S. seed orders for spring planting. Net income for the first quarter ending November 30th totaled $126 million, up from $9 million a year ago, while earnings per share came in at 23 cents versus 2 cents a year earlier. Total sales of Monsanto's specialized corn, soybean, cotton seeds, and productivity products rose 33% to $2.4 billion in the quarter. Corn seeds and genetic traits sales jumped 46% to $895 million. An increase in customer prepayments ahead of the U.S. spring selling season helped lift free cash flow to $856 million, up from $500 million a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Up next week, USDA will release its final crop production report on the 2011 crop. I'll have more on how those numbers are calculated. The January crop production report from the United States Department of Agriculture puts the final stamp on the previous season. Now, those numbers are adjusted for crops like corn and soybeans, says Brad Schwab from USDA NAS. He says the agency is still in the midst of collecting fresh data on the last crop year.
Well, we're currently surveying about 3,000 Illinois farmers, and at this point, we have been setting yields through the month of November. And now this will be going into the final annual production report on January 12th. So the Illinois farmers will fill out a survey form and give us their final yields for the year, not only for corn but for soybeans. They'll also report any grains that they have in storage.
Here's how the information in the January crop production report differs from earlier USDA crop production estimates.
The earlier reports for August and September, for example, many of the farmers had not harvested their crops yet, so they were giving us their projections of what they thought their yields were going to be, versus now they have already put the grain in the bin and they have their scale tickets and will be able to give us exact numbers of what the yields were.
So the January numbers rely much more heavily on hard numbers USDA collects from farmers about yield. The Illinois yield compilation will be sent to Washington, D.C., where statisticians will tally up all the state figures. Brad Schwab from USDA's NAS Illinois office says over time the agency has honed the craft of estimating yields across a vast countryside.
We just celebrated 150 years, and that being said, at the USDA level, the fundamentals of statistics and how we set our estimates has not changed over those years. I mean, the tools that we use have speeded up the process, but when we sample farmers, it's very important that they all report their information to us so that we can ensure that the accuracy of the estimates will be there as they were designed.
Well, the information USDA captures is only as good as what the farmer fills out on the survey. Privacy, by the way, is a big issue for USDA NAS. The agency has gone to great lengths to ensure a producer's individualized information cannot be divulged.
Absolutely. It's protected by law, and when they report to us, we can assure them of that fact, that it will not be disclosed to the public. Not even a Freedom of Information Act can gain access to it.
It is a very important point. Freedom of Information Act requests are usually the way reporters and attorneys force the government to turn over information. The individualized responses USDA collects from farmers are protected from the act. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Listening to the closing market report, it is a Thursday afternoon. We'll say goodbye now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us in just a bit. We'll take up the cash grain market with Matt Bennett. And then after that, we'll talk with Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast right here on this edition of the closing market report. You can always find us, by the way, online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or you can just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We update with either the closes or the opens at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Now on the phone line with us is Matt Bennett to take up the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt. He's at TGM, not in Windsor today, but right here in Urbana-Champaign. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us and talk about the cash grain market. Matt, what did you see over the past several days in the way of movement in your area for corn, maybe beans too?
Well, there's been quite a bit of movement with corn. Guys are kind of getting into the bin, and a lot of January contracts are being delivered here this week, and not a whole lot of beans have been moving yet. I think guys are focused a little more heavily on the corn so far.
So do you think today's break was just a matter that the market's saying, hey, wait a second, I know you wanted to move some in the first few days of January and the roads were good and you could do it, but please leave it in the bin at this point?
Well, there's just a combination of things. You know, whenever we talk about this weather market out of South America changing a little bit, it's just like with our weather market. If we get a little bit better chance for rain on the 15th of July, then, of course, we're gonna have a little downward movement. And so, you know, with that, you know, along with what's going on in Europe and some of the fiscal woes that we have going on over there, and, you know, there's just a variety of things that kind of contributed to it. Of course, the dollar was up today, and crude oil was, you know, not strong like it's been a couple of days this week. So, you know, it's a combination of things.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn bid would be 635, fall is 548, cash beans would be 1181, and fall 1171.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report at WILLAG.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Let's check in on the weather now with Pete Levitt. He's an agricultural meteorologist located on the East Coast. Good afternoon to you, Pete. Thanks for taking the time. Hope you had a great new year.
Oh, yes. A very peaceful one. We've been snow-free here for most of the month of December, so it was easy to get around. Very pleasant.
Yeah, unusual for you to be snow-free. Unusual for us to be snow-free, except that we sometimes get a kind of a January thaw, and it's just been a thaw in January, kind of the whole way through. There were a couple of days in there, but other than that, it's been really nice here. Can we expect more of the same?
Oh, yes. We've got more of the same weather this coming week. Temperatures will average well above normal, probably 10 to on a few days, 10 to almost 15 degrees above normal across most of the central and eastern Midwest. And that mildness will extend all the way to the upper Midwest through midweek. Finally, at the end of this week, we expect to see some cold air start to work down. And I think that's the beginning of the end for the mild spells. I think we're going to see a series of much cooler temperatures come through in intervals, 2 or 3 day intervals, reinforcements. I think the second half of January is going to be a lot colder than the first half, which is easy to say when the first half is running so far above north. And precipitation is not a factor this week. Practically nothing in the way of precipitation, only occasionally some scattered, isolated showers here and there, but really a mild and dry week.
For the crop in South America, what do you see for Brazil and Argentina?
Well, that's a much more a serious situation down there. They did get some rain in northeastern Argentina a week ago where drought has really been packing in there, but that's over with. They're going to warm up in the next week, and I don't see any significant rain. That's a very serious drought forming in the Argentine, especially in most of the major crop-growing areas. They're in the reproduction stages for their corn and beans there, and they're going to suffer through that. Temperatures running above normal. They've cooled off to the upper 80s in the last day or two, but they'll be back up in the 90s again. Southern Brazil did catch a few showers from Paraná northward. They need more. They're running dry there. And where all the precipice has been, it's just to the north of that in a northwest-southwest band. From the Mato Grossos southeastward into Minas and into Sao Paulo. And there they've got abundant moisture. That's going to really help them out when they finally go in, get the beans early maybe, and go after the safrina crop and get that second crop in.
Can you come back to Argentina just a bit? I know
Sure. They've
been dry, but when do we go from dry to a drought at that point, or have we already?
Oh, drought is underway there now. It's starting to go. It's moderate and intensifying, and they are in drought, and it's significant because this they never did really get much of the rain over their winter time down there that they usually get. So they started off spring with a drought, and now as we moving in the summer, it's it's not relenting at all. Just when they do get showers, there are bands of systems on their way northward into Brazil, and they don't leave very much precipitation behind in the Argentine. That's where I think you're seeing the crop problems developing there.
We'll talk with you again next week, Pete.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
Pete Labbitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. We'll say goodbye now to everybody. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be back here at the same time again tomorrow. I'm Todd Gleason.